On Point is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Long before the cathedrals of Europe, before American missionaries and the TV megachurches of Houston and the California burbs, early Christians put down deep roots in the Holy Land and across the Middle East. Now, in the face of conflict and war from Bethlehem to Iraq, waves of those ancient Christian communities are clearing out, packing up, leaving, going underground from Jerusalem to Baghdad, and exodus is underway. Up next, On Point, in the heart of the Christian Holy Week, we'll talk with Middle Eastern Christians about the new exodus from the Holy Land. We will speak in this hour with Christians in Lebanon, in the West Bank, and from Iraq. But we turn first to Gregory Katz, Middle East Bureau Chief for the Houston Chronicle, who's been writing about the Mideast's Christian exodus. He joins us today from London. Gregory Katz, thanks so much for being with us.
Hello. How are you doing, Tom?
We're great. The headline you put on it was "The Silent Exodus, Vanishing Christians of the Mideast." What's going on?
Well, it was really surprising to me once I started looking at this, because it's something that's happening across the board in all the countries of the region, but it's not terribly dramatic or terribly obvious. The numbers aren't overwhelming, and it's not that these people are being openly persecuted and forced to flee for their lives. They're leaving for a variety of reasons, but they're leaving in sort of steady numbers, and they're desperately trying to find a new life either in the States or Latin America. A tremendous number have gone to Australia, and also some to Europe, although not a huge amount to Europe. They're just trying to leave and start over somewhere else.
So part of it, a region, an atmosphere that has become difficult for lots of people, including Christians. You say not in fear for their life, but of course in some places they are. In Iraq, it's not only Shia and Sunni who have faced kind of ethnic cleansing campaigns. Christians have been caught in the middle of that. I'm looking here at a USA Today report, pretty recent, saying something like 40% of the refugees fleeing Iraq are Christians, even though they make made up of only about 5% of Iraq's population.
Yes, you're exactly right. My reporting didn't take me to Iraq, and that is the one place where people are literally fleeing for their lives. As I understand it from talking to the people at the United Nations and other people who've come out, the Christians are very much being targeted in this emerging civil war between the Sunni and the Shia. They're very much unwanted, and both sides are often turning to ethnic cleansing as a way to get the Christians out. So the numbers of Christians turning up in Syria, in Jordan, and also in Kurdistan and Iraq's north is growing every day, and that is becoming an extreme situation.
About 12 million Christians in the Middle East. I'm not sure quite how far that extends. About half of those 12 million Copts, C-O-P-T-S, in Egypt. Lebanon has had a really tough time lately, and it's been tough on Christians. A new poll coming out there says half of all Maronites, the biggest Christian denomination there, are saying they're considering getting out. What are the special circumstances in Lebanon that's putting the pressure on, Gregory Katz?
Well, that's twofold. I spent a lot of time in Lebanon both before and after the war with Israel last summer. A lot of the reason the Maronites and the Muslims there want to leave is simply economic. The country is not doing very well, and people who can leave tend to leave, and it's somewhat easier for Christians to emigrate. It's easier for them to get visas in the West. So some of this doesn't have much to do with sectarian strife.
But 60,000 out, reporting says, since last summer's war between Israel and Hezbollah. Hezbollah, a much more hard bar kind of Islamic group there, putting pressure on.
Right. That's what I was getting to. Since the war, you have a much more pitched battle between Hezbollah and the elected government. And it's becoming much uglier once again. And the Christians that I spoke to after the war said, look, we have no future here. We have got to get out. There's going to be some sort of fundamentalist government here, and we are no longer going to be welcome. So certainly that exodus has increased and become more religious in tone.
And we've heard unease in Jordan in recent days as we put our feelers out, and clearly in the West Bank. What about there in the Palestinian Christian community? Why has the temperature, the difficulty been raised there in the heart of the Holy Land for Middle Eastern Christians, Greg?
Well, that is very complex, and my articles there drew a lot of fire, because I was pointing out that the Israeli government has made life very difficult for both the Christians and the Muslims in Bethlehem by building this security wall, by blocking the city off, by setting up so many checkpoints, by choking off the economic life that was natural to that area. They've really made it much harder for Christians to function normally, even just the simple things that are important to Christians, such as being able to go to Jerusalem to worship at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Pardon me, that's become quite difficult. But I got a lot of criticism from people saying, no, the problem is Hamas, that what you have is Hamas pressuring the Christians to leave. I did find some of that in my reporting, some Christians in Bethlehem saying Hamas was putting the pressure on, trying to get a more devout Islamic following throughout the West Bank. So really both Israel and to a degree Hamas are pressuring the Christians, and they just feel like they have no future there.
30,000 Christians in Jerusalem in 1948, maybe 4,500 today. Greg Katz, bottom line, if the Middle East loses a chunk of its Christian population, what does it lose?
It loses a lot of continuity, and it loses a bridge. Traditionally, the Christians there, going back almost 2,000 years, have been a bridge between Islam and the Judeo-Christian world. They've been a link. They provided some common ground. And, you know, this is where Christianity was formed. This is obviously the birthplace. It's a crucial part of the history that's just being wiped out. And you're seeing increased polarization and an increasingly radical form of Islam that is less and less having room for Christians. So it's a real symptom of the fact that it's a much more dangerous world in the Middle East than it was 20 years ago.
Gregory Katz, Middle East Bureau Chief for the Houston Chronicle. His big series there was called The Silent Exodus. He joined us from London. Greg Katz, thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
I want to turn now to the Mideast and Christians in the midst of all that is happening there. First, to Michael Kafouri. He is a Lebanese Maronite Christian. He joins me from Beirut. Mr. Kafouri, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure.
It's good to have you. And from the West Bank in the Palestinian territories, from the Christian town of Taibe, we're joined by Buthaina Kanan Houri, excuse me. She's Palestinian and a Greek Orthodox Christian. Buthaina Houri, thank you very much for being here.
Yes, hello. Thank you.
So let's hear it from you two. You're both in difficult environments these days. Michael Kafouri, first to you in Beirut. Has the environment for Christians, Maronite Christians, changed? Do you see evidence of Christians fleeing Lebanon?
Yes, I have seen this myself, just as your correspondent, Mr. Katz, mentioned. A lot of it is economic reasons that people are leaving because the situation now has been put back since the summer war. And in addition to the economic problems, you have the fact that the Christians feel that they are really out of power. In other words, they don't have a real voice in the government. So that's another reason why they have been leaving.
After a long time when Christians were a majority there and very powerful in the government.
Yes, you could argue that before the civil war in Lebanon that they might have had power greater than their numbers. So maybe there was some abuse of power, you know, before the civil war, but now the pendulum has swung the other way, and we feel that really we don't have much representation, whether it's in the various ministries or the government.
Buthaina, there in the West Bank, as a Christian Palestinian in a town that's been overwhelmingly Christian, but most of your sort of family members, relatives in that town now live abroad. What pressures do you see on the Christian community in particular, or is it just the pressure, the overall pressure in the West Bank that's leading Christians to leave?
Well, actually, Palestinians have been living, Palestinians, Christians have, and the Palestinians in general, they have been living in a very special case. Of course, the occupation is one of the major reasons why Palestinians end to leave Palestine. And, of course, it affects the Palestinians, Christian as well. We used to be a majority, and a good number in Palestinians, Christians lived in Palestine. Nowadays, we are a very, very significant minority. We always participated in leaving good marks on the Palestinian society, but yet occupation, growing fundamentalism, and as well as being neglected by the rest of the Christians. Nobody's looking after the Palestinian Christians. Even if I could mention that some people outside in the world, they don't know that Christians do exist in Palestine. All these reasons have affected the immigration of Palestinian Christians as well as the rest of the Palestinians.
But Buthaina Houri, when you look forward, do you see the Christian population there in the realm of Bethlehem and all the fame cities of the Bible? Do you see it dwindling ultimately to nothing? Is there a core that will always stay? What do you expect?
Well, if I can look at my little town, Taibe means very kind, and it means delicious as well. We've mentioned in the Bible as a prime. Our population used to be over than 15,000. Right now we have about 1,200 people only living in my little town, and most of the people are living abroad, mostly in the U.S., in South America, and in the Gulf area as well. So it's diminishing. It's really affecting us. But it's the situation, the whole situation right now is everybody's fighting everybody. I think it's affecting the Christians and the Muslims as well.
Mm. Buthaina, if I may, we had earlier talking to the reporter Gregory Katz. He said, well, he saw Israeli pressure as a big part of the reason that many Palestinian Christians were leaving, but there may be an issue of Hamas and its Islamic fundamentalism as well. Which do you see as the larger pressure on Palestinian Christians?
Well, to tell you the truth, it has been and it still is the main reason is the occupation, is the fearful measurement of the Israeli occupation against the Palestinian population. If you look at the high unemployment, if you look at the poverty, it's 85% of poverty and it's increasing daily. The hardship of daily life, or the checkpoints, the wall that is being measured, it's turning our life into really misery. Plus, growing up in such situations, fundamentalism grows more and more, and therefore racism becoming very strong. And all that together, plus the negligence of the rest of the world towards the Christians living here in Palestine, all that, I think, it contributes to the immigration of Palestinian Christians.
What about the effect of Hamas? Are Christians now less welcome in the West Bank with Hamas, the greater focus on a more fundamentalist Islam? Has it changed your relationships with Muslim Palestinians?
Well, telling you the truth, no, that's not the case yet. I don't know if it's going to be like that, but at this time, there is no threat from Hamas in particular against any Palestinians, especially against minorities and against Christians. And even for women, it's not yet the case. There are concerns and worries later on in the future, maybe. But at this stage, there's no worries. I am Christian, as you said. I'm a woman. I'm living in Palestine. I have been born and raised here. Until now, I have not faced any problems as a Christian. And I am an independent filmmaker. But there are some certain cases that took place, some fights between some Christians and Muslims, some cases here and there, and it has been the case, as well as there are some fights even among Christians themselves sometimes. I am a Greek Orthodox, and we know that there's a fight going on between even the Greek Patriarch, or the old one and the new one. So we do encounter some problems here and there among Palestinians, Christians, and Muslims. But that's not the threat from Hamas at a certain time.
And that in a town where the population has fallen from over 10,000 to maybe 1,000 today. I know there are services going on there on this Thursday night, Buthaina, and you may want to get to them. We appreciate your being with us. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah.
Buthaina Kanan Houri there on the West Bank in Palestinian Christian town of Taiba. Michael Kafouri is with us from Beirut, and a lot of listeners want to join this conversation as well. Let's go to Dixie in Brunson, South Carolina. Dixie, you're on the air.
All right. First of all, what I'd like to say is I have studied a great bit of information from the Bible,
mm-hmm.
from God's Word itself, concerning what is happening right now. This is nothing unusual. I mean, that's the wrong terminology.
It's unusual for the people living through it. You know, things were better not so long ago.
But what these people are going through in fleeing with God, the things that are causing them to flee is nothing that hasn't happened before. As the book of Elasticus tells us, nothing ever happens that hasn't happened already.
So what's your word to Michael Kafouri in Beirut?
Hold on just a moment. I'm trying to say it.
Mm-hmm.
What these people are going through is actually absolutely, teetotally nothing compared to what the first Christians went through, being fed into places where lions grabbed a hold of them and ate them alive, where they were beaten, where they were even burned upside down at a cross, as Peter was. And God expects his people to stand up for him and not turn tail and run.
Okay, there's a hard line, Dixie, and we hear it. Let me put it to my guest, Michael Kafouri, in Beirut. Mr. Kafouri, Dixie says, hey, early Christians were tortured in the Colosseum. You can hang in there. How does that strike your ears?
Well, I mean, I don't think that the people who are leaving here are taking that kind of a religious stand of whether they should stay or leave. It's mostly political reasons and some economic reasons. The political reasons that many Christians are leaving Lebanon is that they feel that they really don't have a major voice in the government anymore. As I mentioned earlier, they used to have a very good representation,
mm-hmm.
but since the Civil War, you could say the Christians lost the Civil War, and they are now underrepresented. So that's the political reason why they might want to leave. And the economic reason is that after having stuck it out for so many years, and I would say, you know, close to 30 years of increasing recession and fewer economic opportunities, again, that's another reason why they are looking for other, other places to build their lives. And I just want to say that the reason Christians are leaving in greater numbers than the other other religious groups here in Lebanon is that the Christians are so well connected to Lebanese immigrant groups that already have established in the United States and
right.
in Brazil and
mm-hmm.
in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So they have this bridge, they have this link with the outside world, and I think they're taking advantage of this now to start new lives.
Mm. Michael Kafouri in Beirut, please stand by. I want to welcome another voice into our conversation, a voice out of Iraq. Sister Olga joins me. She's a Roman Catholic nun, formerly an Assyrian Catholic nun, founded a new order that ministers to the poor in Iraq. She's currently a campus minister at the Boston University Catholic Center. She's been back since the invasion of Iraq, knows that country inside and out. Sister Olga, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
So here we are. We're reading about an exodus of Christians across the Middle East, most particularly right now from Iraq, where a very high portion of those fleeing there are Christian. Why Christians in particular? What are you hearing from friends and family and colleagues in Iraq? Are Christians being targeted in the sectarian violence there?
Correct. I think a lot of people are leaving, especially after this recent war, after 2003, and particularly a lot of Christians. It has a lot of reasons. I'm sure you hear a lot, you know, what is happening over there. It's not like direct because it's a Christian persecution happening there, but their life, it's difficult, and they are almost kind of lost in the middle. They have no voice. They don't feel safe. They don't feel protected. They've been judged for so many reasons. Some people who are attacking them or kidnapping a lot of Christians or threatening them, because they think, some of them, they think because they have connection in the Western countries from family members or friends, so they think there is more option to get money.
Hold the children hostage and they will find money abroad, perhaps.
Correct, yeah. This is one of the reasons. The other is some people think that America is a Christian country, so they associate the Christian people of Iraq with United States, and people who are angry because of this war and the invasion that happened since 2003, they try to kind of punish the Christian because of that. So it's a combination of so many reasons. It's not direct that because they are Christian.
Though there have been churches bombed and burned in Baghdad
priests,
and beyond.
Correct. And priests kidnapped and families, you know, kidnapped and kids and women and abused. And it just so many ways of sufferings have been, you know, for the Christian people in Iraq.
Michael Kafouri, in Beirut, let me ask you, what do you see in the political trends in the Middle East for the Christian community there? You know, many say, they look back at some of the autocratic regimes, the strongman regimes, including Saddam Hussein's, and say Christians often kind of made their peace with strongman rulers. They were a minority. They would be sometimes protected by, and sometimes still today, in Syria, for example, maybe in Jordan. I mean, did Christians place their bet with the wrong powers in the Middle East? Is that coming back to haunt them now, Michael?
Well, I mean, I think what you say is has a lot of truth in it. When you have a dictator or an autocrat, they try to shore up their power by aligning with minorities, and one of the minorities is often the Christians. So the observation you made about Saddam's Iraq could also be applied to the Shah when he was in power in Iran. During the Shah's time, for example, the minorities such as the Armenians, the Jewish community in Iran, the Christian community in Iran were very well protected. And now when you have these strong men gone or these autocrats, and it turns more to populist regimes or more, you know, mainstream regimes that are of the majority population, that's when some of the rights of the minorities is violated. Mm.
Sister Olga, I put this question before, but let me put it to you. If Christian populations in Iraq and beyond are seriously diminished by this time of turmoil, I mean, first, we know there's a lot of history lost. These are communities centuries and thousands of years, in some cases, old. But in terms of the culture of the Middle East, what gets lost? What's the cost to the Middle East of losing this community or a portion of it?
You know, definitely, Tom, I agree with all that have been said earlier, that it changed the history. It's very sad that especially probably a lot of people, they don't realize that the Christianity started in Iraq, you know, beginning from the first century. St. Thomas the Apostles, he came and proclaimed the good news in Mesopotamia, including Iraq.
You can't get much older than that.
Yes. I mean, it's from the first century. So, and there are many, many, you know, historical old places in Iraq, you know, related to the first century of Christianity in that country. So if all the Christians leave and all the, you know, religious leaders of Christian denominations, I mean, we are leaving all that history behind, and it's so sad that all that will be destroyed and will be gone. And also, I think even relationship-wise, I don't believe personally, growing up 35 years of my life in that country with my Muslim neighbors
in Iraq,
they would accept that, you know, because we really grew up in good neighborhoods, you know, as Christian and Muslims together. We always brought a lot into the communities where we lived and served and worked and studied. And so definitely
in harmony.
So I think there is also that human aspect of relationships in that region of the world. It will be changed, definitely, because, as I said, the Christian people brought a lot into that region.
Let me take a call from Charleston, South Carolina. Marin is on the line. Marin, you're on the air.
Hi. Actually, the sister made my point for me, but I guess what I would like is if she could speak to Christians in America who elected twice the man who brought all this forth in his policies. And I'll take my reply off the air.
You're speaking of President Bush, and you're talking about what? War in Iraq?
The war in Iraq, the unquestioning alliance Israel, the ruination of the relationships between Muslims and Christians, which have historically actually been pretty good.
Maran, we've got it. Sister Olga, Maran wants to know what you think as an Iraqi Christian, what you say to Americans, American Christians now.
Thank you so much, Maureen, for your question. I definitely respect your perspective. I cannot really kind of give a general answer about this question because I know a lot of the Christians of America have supported peace in Iraq, have supported the people of Iraq, have sent so many donations and have done a lot of the prayer vigils for peace for people of Iraq. And
but many also did support President Bush, have supported President Bush,
as
Amarin says.
Correct, but I think they also supported him for other Christian or family values that they believe that he has. I cannot really answer on, behalf of them why they, elected him or re-elected him, even though he was the one who made the choice for this war and led a lot of people to leave Iraq.
Do you think that choice was a mistake?
I cannot talk about the election itself, but I do believe that
the
choice of war was a mistake, definitely.
Michael Kafouri, in Beirut, is it all local politics hitting you mainly, or is the Iraq war washing even into your reality? Is it affecting Lebanese Christians now?
Well, definitely what's happening in Iraq is in the minds of all Lebanese, and specifically Lebanese Christians, because we are very worried that the same trends that are happening in Iraq, the sectarian fighting, the Shia fighting against the Sunnis, we are afraid that the same problems will visit us here in Lebanon because we have similar composition in terms of the population. We have large Shiite community, we have large Sunni community, and we are praying that we don't fall into the same problems and fighting that's happening in Iraq. This is why you have here a very gloomy mood, because you feel that the various politicians are fanning the sectarian flames instead of trying to put them out.
Not the first time, but those are big flames right now, and a lot of people moving. Sister Olga, the numbers out of Iraq are enormous. The refugee numbers, if 40% of them are Christian, that's a big outflow.
Correct, yeah.
Right now joining us from Washington is Yvonne Haddad. She is a professor of the history of Islam and Christian-Muslim relations at Georgetown University. She's author of the forthcoming book, Vanishing Minority, Christians in the Middle East. Yvonne Haddad, thank you very much for being with us.
You're welcome.
I wish you'd put this current exodus in a historical perspective for us. The prominence and population of Christians in the Middle East has ebbed and flowed over many centuries. How do you see what's going on here in big historic terms?
It is something that we are very worried about because we think that the situation may be irreversible. The growing number of young people who are leaving, it's the older generation that's staying behind. A lot of people are telling their children, leave, there is no future here. Go establish your life elsewhere. And if they go elsewhere, then there is no new generation coming in.
Many Americans may not understand just how deep and long and rich this history is. This has been a profoundly evident community for a long, long time.
Well, it is a community that was established right after the ascension of Christ. It is the community that spread Christianity to the rest of the world. It is the community that has taken a lot of hits, and it considers itself to be the heart of Christianity. There are several communities, but of faith, you have the splits that took place between at Chalcedon, so mm-hmm. that half the church was Chalcedonian mm-hmm. and half was non-Chalcedonian. But the church spread as far as India in its outreach and spread into Europe, and they send missionaries all over the place. But what happened is during the spread of Islam, a lot of Christians converted to Islam, but the Christians were still the majority until the coming of the Crusades. When the Crusades came, they destroyed or attacked the five centers of Eastern Christianity. The five centers were Constantinople, Edessa, Antioch, Jerusalem, and Alexandria.
These are Christian crusaders who basically took these cities down.
That's right. And if you look back at history, you will find that at the time the Crusades came, the majority of the population of the area was Christian. The Muslims were ruling, but the Muslim ruling class was the minority. After the Crusades, we see, for example, the Arabization of Christianity. We begin to have more of the Bible being translated into Arabic. Before that, it was either Greek because of the Greek Orthodox Church, which is called Rum in the area, or it was in Syriac because of the Assyrian Church.
Why did the Christian population suffer during and after the Crusades? Did the Crusaders from Europe actually attack them, or was it simply that the Muslim defense ultimately met a more assertive Islam?
Well, it's a combination. I mean, to start with, the Crusaders were coming from the Catholic Church, and on their way to the Middle East, the first thing they did is they killed the Jews on their way. But once they got into what is now Turkey, where you have where Edessa and Antioch, and then into Jerusalem, they killed the Christians. I mean, they went into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and they butchered every man, woman, and child.
Why? Because they saw these as enemies of the Roman Church?
Well, they're the wrong kind of Christians, and so they were eliminated. But what happened is also with the coming of the Muslims in against the Crusades, you have the Seljuks who took power, and when they took over Anatolia, which is now eastern Turkey, they went through some of the villages and forcefully converted the Christians to Islam. And in the whole history of Islam, it is the only incident we know of where Christians were forced to convert to Islam.
Professor Haddad, let me ask you, if the Middle Eastern Christian community survived all of that, including the Crusades and all the destruction that went with them, why do you say that they may now be entering an irrecoverable decline in the Middle East? Why?
Because at the time of the Crusades, as I said, they were the majority. At the moment, they are becoming more insignificant. I mean, what are we talking about? In a population of about 300 million in the Arab world, what we have is about 16 million, or some people say because of the exodus, maybe now to 12 million or less. And if the young people are leaving, then it's irreversible.
Sister Olga is with me in the studio, and I have to say, sitting in something like tears right now, do you fear that Iraq may end up without a Christian population?
Correct. I agree with Dr. Haddad because, like what happened in the history of Christianity in Iraq, like back years ago, definitely because they were a majority, so they were able to survive. But with today, if we are only, between 2-3%, and with all the suffering that is going on there, how many of them would survive? And as she was mentioning, all the young people are leaving and only the older are staying behind. So there will be no, like, new generation or, younger people for the future to build, the Christianity again in Iraq. So definitely there is more risk of not having a Christian community in the future in Iraq because they are so little, community now.
Ivan Haddad, over time, people and populations move. It's happened with many, many times before. What do you see as the impact of this on this region? If the Christian population declines markedly, why does it matter? Does it matter?
I think it matters for Christianity itself. Basically, what we would have done is redrawn the lines and identified Christianity only with the West, where basically it's dying in the West, I mean, except for the United States. If you look at Europe, there is very little interest in Christianity. Christianity has moved into Asia and Africa. There are more Christians in Asia and Africa than there are in Europe and the United States. And so the heart of Christianity, which is the Middle East, would be without Christians.
We have a lot of callers who want to join this conversation. Michael Kafuri, I know you're standing by there in Beirut. Yvonne Haddad, Sister Olga, it's good to have you all. Let's go to Nick in Needham, Massachusetts. Nick, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, thank you. This has been a very interesting conversation. A lot of it has been focused on the kind of historical passage of events that have occurred that have led to Christians being forced out almost as a byproduct. But we should focus on certain circumstances where that is not the case, where there's specific concerted government activity to extinguish Christianity.
Yvonne Haddad says that's rare, been rare, the Seljuks in Turkey centuries ago. But what are you pointing to?
Well, Turkey today. Turkey today, the Ecumenical Patriarch in Constantinople, Istanbul today, and the Christian minority in Turkey, the Greek Orthodox Christian minority, is being systematically exterminated.
What do you mean by exterminated? Encouraged to leave?
Encouraged to leave. In the early 50s, there was a specific government-sanctioned pogrom against the Orthodox Christians to make them leave. The Turkish government has closed the only Greek Orthodox seminary in Turkey, which makes it impossible for the patriarch, the Greek Orthodox Christian patriarch, to educate priests and also to continue to sustain himself there. And from a population of 100,000 Orthodox Christians in Turkey, we're now left with 2,000 Christians in Istanbul, and the specific Turkish government policy has been to expropriate their properties, close their orphanages, and prevent them from educating themselves.
The number's getting very, very small there. Nick, thanks for that. Michael Kafuri in Beirut. Are you Beirutis looking over your shoulder at Turkey or elsewhere worried about active expulsion or discouragement of Christian communities?
I don't get the sense of that at all.
In Lebanon.
I don't feel targeted or threatened. It's more a long-term trend in that do you find a future here? And unfortunately, you know, there's right now in Lebanon, there is a power struggle taking place. It's a power struggle between the existing government, which is predominantly Sunni, and the opposition, which is Shia.
Hezbollah.
Now, we Christians are kind of in the middle. We've been polarized. Some are with the existing government, some are with the opposition. But if you take a long-term view, what's going to be the result of this power struggle? What is going to be the role of Christians in a Lebanon where really they don't have a big voice in the politics?
Yvonne Haddad,
this is what's causing the immigration, I feel.
Yeah, I can't hear all this without worrying that the loss of Christians in part is a loss of tolerance. It's just an indicator of a loss of tolerance. I mean, the politics become so stark, the battle lines, if you will, become so stark as an evidence of kind of cultural health, of a degree of tolerance. If you lose a minority community like this, whichever one it may be, isn't that a sort of indicator of bad direction?
I absolutely agree.
I agree with you completely, because earlier when some of the other speakers were speaking, I made a note that what the Christians bring to Lebanon is that they make it a multifaceted, multicultural society. And if you take them out, you have much more one-dimensional society. Is that, you know, I don't feel that that's good.
Let me take a call from David in Boston. David, you're on the air.
Hi, David. Hi, Tom. Sorry. Thank you for having me on the air. I am a Syrian Christian, and I want to tell you that this is an interesting program. The Christians have been getting out of the Middle East from the beginning of the last century, and I think the main problem is the economic hardship, and it's been getting worse and worse and worse. I think it is for the benefit of the U.S. and the Western world to work on the peace and the economic growth of the Middle East, because that will help in a couple of things. Keeping the Christians in the Middle East, and number two, fighting the roots of the terrorism that has been going on in the area and killing us. And thank you very much.
David, thanks for your call. Let's get one other from Toronto, Canada. Shahib is on the air. Shahib?
Yes, sir. I was very lucky that my father was a senior diplomat in Pakistan government, and that I had the opportunity to travel extensively and live many of these countries that you're talking about today.
Okay.
And I agree with you as to what is going on. One of the important things one must remember It's a lot easier to immigrate from the Middle East if you're a Christian.
Because you may have relatives abroad simply because you're a Christian. It may make
absolutely. And if you're a Muslim, they will even not let you into the embassy to make an application.
Right. And everyone's saying here, look, the Christians aren't the only ones leaving. This is such a troubled region now.
Many of us. If you give anybody an opportunity to leave that part of the world, they will immigrate to America and Europe tomorrow.
Okay.
What I'm trying to say is, you have a president who's backed by a fundamentalist majority or minority in the United States. And a lot of these people have fundamental Christian television stations that are spewing hatred against anybody who's not a fundamental Christian.
So how does that factor in here? If you're right, what is the impact of American Christian fundamentalism?
Terrible impact. When you turn the satellite dish on, you have 700 Club, Pat Robertson sitting there. And I remember during the invasion of Lebanon, that is in the 80s when the Israelis invaded, this guy was saying the Israelis are doing Lord's work. And everybody then starts to equate local Christians with the American Christians whose job there is to butcher the Palestinians and the Muslims. The other thing, the previous caller made a very important point. If you return all the stolen wealth from the oil countries in the Middle East today, within 10 years, Middle East would be much more prosperous than the United States of America. 14% of the U.S. economy is owned by the Saudis. And there's about $1 trillion a year that flows out of the Middle East that should be back into those countries, into Egypt, into the Middle Eastern countries, into Iraq.
We've got it. Our time grows short, but there's a vote for tolerance and for maybe bringing resources home that could let the region flourish again. In diversity, of course, there are many streaks and many kinds of intolerance here. Yvonne Haddad, what do you see looking forward? Do you see a way to mend this?
You remember your first caller? Mm. She was probably one of these fundamentalist Christians who believes that
Dixie, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think she believes that the Christians of the Middle East are Christian, and therefore they are disposable. And I've met people like that.
But she was saying, hang in there. Don't give up. Early Christians had to fight a tough fight. You can too.
Well, the question is, would she go there? She wants the Christians to go to the lions again. Would she be willing to go and take their place? There are some Christians from Europe who are going into Palestine and standing with the Palestinians, both with Christians and Muslims, against Israeli policies, and they're suffering for it. I don't think that she would go and side with that population because she sees that they're what is happening to them is from God. And unfortunately, we have a large population in the United States that believes in that, that they believe that war and destruction is something that is to come so that the end of time can come and Jesus will return. And, your caller said, definitely, Pat Robertson has called for the destruction of the Muslim temple so that the Jewish temple can be rebuilt. And, come Jesus, help us destroy the temple. And when Muslims see this, they saw it on Star of Hope television, which was run by him from South Lebanon. When they see this, they think that all Christians want to destroy Islam.
And Middle Eastern Christians living in the shadow of that.
They are the ones right there.
Our time grows very, very short. Sister Olga, a last word. Easter's coming this weekend, very important for Christians. Your prayer for this region, for your home country, Iraq?
I do pray and hope for the entire world, and particularly in Middle East, for that gift of peace that our Lord brought from the first moment of his incarnation. The first message of the angels to the shepherd was peace to his people on earth. And the first message that our Lord, after his resurrection, spoke to his disciples was also peace be with you. May the Lord of peace heal the wounds of all these hatreds and bring forgiveness and healing to the world and peace.
There's a word of peace, Sister Olga from Iraq. Thank you for being with us. Michael Kafouri in Beirut, thanks very much for being with us this hour. And Yvonne Haddad at Georgetown University, thanks to all of you. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.